And hi, welcome guys to IDK Politics. It is Friday, the 19th of April. And yeah, I'd like to welcome my very special guests. So to my left, I have
Kira.
And to my right,
Ethan.
Welcome, everyone. We have a really special show today, guys. I have two really, really like knowledgeable and really interesting people on with me for a really important day. So to run down this week, it's been a busy enough week in politics. Mm-hmm. But other than that, on UCC campus, it's also been really busy. I have to thank the UCC 98.3 FM for giving me best current affairs show of the year. Thank you. I'd like to thank Ethan for joining me at the these awards because I was.
Ethan came second, by the way.
Yeah, so Ethan came second in the sports show. Right. The sports show.
Clear this up. I got nominated for a sports show and I came second of two shows. So,
In fairness, Ethan, we have to say, the other show was an actual sports show.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But that's what I said because I remember I turned to you and just said, well, yeah, they deserve it because they talk about actual sports. I do like, what, about 20 minutes of sport and they're just absolute pure waffle.
It's participation.
Yeah, I mean, I got a tiara as well.
Yeah,
like second place is better than last place.
Yeah, except when you're out of two, so it was basically last place to an actual sports show. But yeah.
Yeah, like.
Thanks, guys.
You still got your tiara.
Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. That's all I wanted, really.
If people are wondering why we had tiaras, was they were the trophies, because I did get a few questions on that. But also with that, I'd like to congrats Ethan on his position in Europa. What are you now, Ethan?
Thanks, guys. The membership development officer. So for incoming members, I basically, yeah.
Go to Ethan
now,
if you want to join Europa SOC. Really cool society here. Yep. And Kira is now the new PRO of GovPol.
So look out for all the social medias.
Yeah. Yep. And I am now the new secretary of GovPol. So send me your emails.
We're just so good, aren't we? We're absolutely just turning the place up.
We're
in
such
the world
active
society.
Citizens.
Such active citizens. Oh my God. And yes, I have to, because now as a member of GovPol, I have to shout out their new editorial. Policy Spring Edition 2024 is out now.
So. And it's great. It's such an easy read. It's brilliant.
Has actual stories written by actual students.
I didn't even see the cover of it.
It's fab. It's in my purse. If you want to go look at it.
I'll have a look during the break.
It's class, guys. Honestly, it's brilliant. I think you can pick up a hard copy. Maybe give GovPol a DM. They can get your hands on it.
Or just email Caitlin now.
Or just email me
now. Exactly.
So yeah, before we get into it, guys, we're going to just play another song and then we're going to get into the crazy week, which is your global politics. Yeah. So yep, this song was requested by our lovely Kira.
I'm sorry.
And I'm not angry about it because we all know I love a bit of Hozier. So this is Too Sweet by Hozier. And if you don't know it, it's a crime. So yep, be back in a sec, guys. And we're back. So that was Too Sweet by Hozier, a very popular song on all platforms at the moment. I think it's number one on Spotify.
Not surprised.
Yeah. It's a great song. So we're going to get into it now. So I don't know if people have seen the news this morning, but Israel has retaliated on the attacks of Iran from Sunday. So we're just going to explain that a bit, guys, because I know it's long, long history between the two countries and it does get a bit confusing. So to start, Iran and Israel have never had a good relationship.
No.
It's hundreds of years old. It goes up and down. 2019, it was very bad again. But this week has shown major changes, and I think the first major attack by both sides.
Yeah, definitely.
To this extreme anyways. Yeah. So
bad timing on Israel's part as well.
So what happened was what led to last Sunday was A, a long history, but B, Israel attacked the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria. 16 people were killed. It was why this is extreme, and you're like, why in Syria? Why in Damascus? A consulate or an embassy is seen as sovereign territory. You are not allowed to attack in it. It's seen as a place where it's like neutral. It's safe. It's a part of another country inside another country. So yeah, Ethan, do you have anything to say on that? Because I know you have a bit more.
I mean, it was Saturday night, I think it was, and I had just, you know, been scrolling on my, I was going to say Twitter feed, but it's X now, isn't it? I'll never get used to calling it that. But, and I saw something, I believe it was from the Spectator Index, saying that drones had been launched from Iran. So, you know, big news. Me and my brother are both, you know, very interested in politics. So we turned the TV straight over and actually headed upstairs just to watch the coverage, because, I mean, we couldn't believe it was happening. I mean, you know, we knew the attack on the embassy was serious, of course, but, you know, just sometimes you just never expect another country to retaliate. But, you know, Iran did. And we were unsure of the reports. I think quite a few people were. But then as soon as we saw footage of drones going over Iraq and Lebanon, some that were shot down over Lebanon, I believe, then we kind of thought, oh yeah, this could be very damaging. Yeah. But
most of them were shot down,
weren't yeah
they? 99% of them, yeah, due to the iron dome,
yeah,
that's
yeah
what they're calling it,
and the US and UK fighter jets also intercepted, yes, yeah, some as well. So
from Sunday, it is, as we everyone knows, Iran shot down. Apologies, guys. We're having a bit of tech issues. Iran started attacking Israel. Iron Dome stopped most of the intermissions, except one in which a child was injured. So that is what's led to today. We have Israel retaliating upon the attacks that Iran had on Sunday. From what sources have come out, they're all from the US. There's no major sources from any major government at the moment.
It looks like to be a very developing story at the moment. I mean, it was in the early hours of the morning, so it's well, for us anyway. So it's but, you know, things about, you know, explosions in Iran's capital Tehran, but then Iran are also saying that there was barely any. They managed to get you know, intercept them all, because there was only very 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 few. And
they're kind of like downplaying it, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, they are. I mean, I think one may have hit a military strategic point, but apparently no nuclear sites was hit, which is.
I wonder if there's a reason that they're downplaying it, though. Like, is it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think downplaying, probably yes, but also it could be that it's just a really fresh story at the moment, and the US are literally, well, maybe keeping the cards close to the chest, but also possibly could just be saying what they actually know. You know, we don't know, because confirms of reports that missiles and drones and other, you know, sort of technology have been launched from Israel, but the damage or the actual hits are very a very kind of wishy-washy at the moment. Yeah. No one really knows the exact amount of damage that's been done as of yet, because I think these reports were only like three, 4 hours old. Do you know?
This morning ones? Yeah. I woke up to it around 6, and they were very fresh.
Yeah.
Reuters is a very high-quality, very informative, and very non-biased news source, and they were getting all their info from the Americans.
Yeah.
So it will be later today when we see an actual article and actual information coming out. Like, I just see now that RT have another thing out, so soon we'll probably see what truly is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry about that, guys. We had a lot of tech difficulties. So yeah, it is interesting. The US had warned Israel not to retaliate.
Yeah.
Yeah. If people don't know, France, UK and US all helped Israel on Sunday with the attacks from Iran, as they are allies. So it is interesting to see what happens now, as another country has been brought into place. Mm-hmm. Lebanon is also supposed to be a bit of a worrisome area. If they're going to get dragged into it? Yes, it could get messy real quick.
Because that's what people need to keep in mind as well. It wasn't just Iran, because after the missiles were launched by Iran, you know, other proxy groups of Iran in other regions then started to, again, you know, they didn't do much damage, but still, you know, I think people just saying, oh yeah, Israel's gone, you know, attacked back by Iran, that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, all the other proxy groups are necessarily going to calm down at the moment.
It's just all very messy.
Yeah, but...
And this follows the same week where Palestine has requested statehood by UN. I don't know if most people understand this, but Palestine is not considered a state within the United Nations. It's considered a non-member observer state, similar to the Holy See or the Vatican State. So it can't vote, but it can participate in the procedures of the UN. So, you know, sit on meetings, but actually has no voting power. So this week at the Security Council, Algeria, a non-permanent sitting member, put forward a proposal for a Palestinian statehood. It was vetoed by the US, so it will not move on. What Palestine requires to be even considered to go for statehood within the UN is they require it to pass a Security Council, and they require 2/3 of the sitting UN General Assembly. So it is interesting to see what happens. The US, of course, vetoed it. We're not surprised.
No.
They are looking for bilateral peace agreements between Palestine and Israel before they continue, meaning they want to do an internal peace agreement before Palestine can consider statehood at the global level.
I don't think that's the first thing on their mind now since the whole Iran and Israel situation going on at the moment.
Yes.
I mean,
everything's getting sidetracked.
Yeah, I think they've just put it down to direct negotiations, but you know how long that will take is, again, crazy. You know, as Kira said, with everything else happening, that's just that's going to be just put on the back burners now.
Yes, I have a quote here from the Palestinian ambassador. They just wish to be treated as equals among the other 193 member states of the UN. They did go for a bid. Their last membership bid was in 2011. So that is 10 years. That's more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That is interesting. And it fell at the first hurdle as it could not get through. It could not get 9 votes within the Security Council.
Yeah.
And that was the same thing what we experienced this week. It was vetoed by the US, which is a permanent member, which means their veto is the most powerful, let's say. Yeah. Yeah. So it is interesting to see how this goes. A lot, surprisingly, what I thought, I didn't realize so many countries within the UN recognize the state of Palestine. I have the quote on my phone. So currently it is Algeria, as I mentioned, which was the country which proposed the motion in the Security Council. We have countries such as China and Russia, as well as Ecuador, Guyana, Mozambique, Sierra Leone, which all recognize the state of Palestine, and they're all actually sitting in the Security Council
at
the moment.
Didn't Spain just recently say as well?
Yeah, yeah. And Ireland is
on some sort of a path.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
So that is what's happening there, if people were wondering what it means, because I do understand it's not the most easy concept to get around, because how is a country not considered a state?
The UN is very complex in the matters, even like something like the UN Security Council, where you know a country can just veto it and then like, oh yeah, that's done, you know. It can be very difficult to wrap your head around.
It is something I wish to go into maybe more detail sometime with people. Oh, 100%. As I was on international relations, and all we did was UN style debating.
Yeah.
So
she's
it is
on GovPol now.
I'm on GovPol now, guys. So that's this week in that. I might play another song and then we'll go into a few other topics. We have major week of elections, as it is 2024 is a year of elections, so it's exciting for us. We have the new law in Georgia. The country, not the state.
I just remember that, please, please, please.
Yes, the country in the continent of Europe and not the state of the United States.
Easy mistake.
Maybe not after hearing the news report. And then we will, I think we have a bit of a fun topic to end the show on, a bit of lighthearted. We might have a bit of, I don't know, politician media, but we'll get into that at the end. So the next song I am going to play, guys, is if it will come up. I don't think it's going to come up for me a second. You talk amongst yourselves.
Ethan, how's it going?
I was actually going to say about music. Caitlin, you were asking me how long my playlist is now.
Oh yeah, so guys, I really poorly introduced my guests. Ethan is the host of Chitter Chatter Friday afternoon, 4 to 5 here at UCC 98.3 FM. So please tune in this evening.
If you want to listen from a 13-hour, 34-minute playlist, then make sure to join. I've got probably too many songs, but you know, it's a nice variety. So yeah.
They're good songs. I think you have good music taste.
Thanks, Kira.
You're welcome.
That's probably the nicest thing she's ever said to me.
And it's the only nice thing.
Nice.
So on about good music taste, I have good music taste. I don't, but... This is why this playlist is made by also Derpalo Donovan, because she's the one in my friend group that has good music taste. So, but this
ouch.
Is
ouch. Okay.
bastard everyone else. Nice.
I'm sorry. So this is Good Luck Babe by Chappell Roan. So yeah, I'll see you in a sec, guys. And we're back. So that was Chappell Roan, Good Luck Babe, a new song to the... It's all new songs this week on the radio. Yeah, so we're going to get into what I think is a really interesting topic, which is elections. And this week, today actually starts one of the biggest elections, I think the biggest election globally. Today the Indian elections start, which is really interesting, as 969 million people are registered to vote in India out of a population of 1.4 billion. Mm-hmm. So,
and we only have 5.1 million, lads.
So, like, people. God.
In the country.
Put that against that.
Crazy, like.
Are you unhappy with that statistic? Ireland should be the most populous country in the world. How dare India even try and take it?
It's not that, but, like, just, that's probably, like, a village to them.
Yeah, like, honestly.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
And, like, Ireland, like, it's small, but, like, no wonder everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. Like, we could all be evacuated if we have to.
Yeah, we could all be put on a ship. One ship would just heal us. That's all we need if we were to get evacuated.
Just on a big yacht. So that means, so out of this, 12% of the world's population is voting in this singular election.
That's crazy.
So let's put this. So in India, there is 1.42 billion people.
Yeah.
That's how many people are in India. There's 448.8 million people in the entirety of the EU. That doesn't even make up half. That's not even half of India.
But it probably is the most overpopulated country.
It is. And that, look, there's pros and cons to having such a large population. But so it is really interesting that today starts their election, the 19th of April. There's 7 rounds due to their such high population.
I really imagine 7 rounds.
And today is actually the largest.
How does that even work? Like, would you have to have, like, a...
So it's different regions, I presume. That's what they mean.
Oh,
so
right.
In one region, they start their voting today. It is really interesting, some of the statistics and how they've planned their voting. So I was reading on, this is from CNN, they've broken down, CNN World actually, they've broken down how the voting works in India. So no person will be more than 2 kilometers from a polling station.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
Oh, that's very
it makes
good.
It accessible. Yeah. It's really interesting. And for every one polling station, only it will suit 1,500 people. So it's not actually polling stations are overcrowded. I do know people were queuing up this morning from the earliest times to start voting. India will mobilize 15 million people to help man the stations and for security with the stations. And the highest polling station in India is 15,256 feet upwards. So it's up a mountain, practically.
We don't have that.
Yeah, because the tallest mountain is like just over a thousand meters. It's really not tall.
Yeah, like,
I can just see it from my house. It's not really impressive.
Yeah, and a polling station will be set up in a remote village of, I'm going to say this wrong, my apologies, Malogram, for one person to, I'm sorry, I butchered that. But this polling station will be for one person to cast her vote.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, isn't that like they have to bring like the election, but like transport the entire thing just to him. I saw a video of that in the last election. Was like the most isolated man in India, which to be fair with the saddest
country. Why is he so isolated?
I'm not.
He's on an island. It looks like he's like on the island part of it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Is he the only man on the island?
Well, he's not the only one voting, so I presume.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'd love to live on an island. Well, secluded island.
Yeah.
So compared to their last election in 2019, 40 million more women have registered to vote.
Always good sign, yeah.
That is incredible. And more than 20 million voters are aged between 18 and 29 were added to the electorate since 2019. Okay. So that's like an additional 60 million people just from 2019. That's incredible.
That is.
Oh, well, I would just like to say, by the way, 15,000 feet is 4.5 kilometers. So that's just, that's over 4 times the size of our highest mountain. So,
wow. Yeah. Oh, what's our highest mountain?
Everything in India is bigger and better.
Just over 1,000 meters.
That is crazy.
I think it's said that early pollsters are predicting that Modi will get
his third term. So their current president.
Feels like he's been in. Well, I mean, he has been in there for a while.
So, yeah. So Modi is their current leader. Mm-hmm. He will be going for his third his third win.
Yeah.
Really interesting. So actually out of there, what they vote for, it's around 545 seats are in their parliament. That is what these that's what the citizens of India will be voting for. But they only vote for 543 of their seats, as two of the seats are presidentially picked. So the president gets to put two people sitting in parliament. System. Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure out what their voting system's like. Is it like PRCV, first past the post?
Oh God, I mean.
It wasn't very like put out there. But
well,
it
to be fair, with seven rounds, it's probably quite complex. Yeah. So probably you probably do a whole show on just what India's voting election is.
And so it does start today. Today's April 19th, 2024, and it won't end till June 1st. And the results will come out June 4th. So actually,
Well, the results are fast at least.
It is 3 days. I guess they do have such a large gap. Like today is the first section, and this is the largest section, and by the time they've gone through all of them, it will be okay. So I'm looking at a map here, and it's spread out everywhere. So like the first station today, it's in everywhere. So it's not just one designated region.
Yeah,
it's like at the top, it's at the bottom, it's out on the side, like. The everywhere is voting is not just
spread
one
spread around.
Spread around, So it's a really interesting way they vote. Also, how they vote though, because
it's electronic, isn't
it? It's electronic.
Yeah.
All of it.
Well, like
wow,
they vote electronically.
But it's not just like the US electrical system. You know, you just press a button, it's grand. You have to press this like keypad.
Right.
You press the button, it flashes, it makes a beeping noise.
Right.
And then it goes, it like wirely transfers to this other machine that you can read your ballot card to make sure everything is correct. Oh. And then it digitally puts it into, or like it prints it out, but you can't get your ticket. It like puts into a box.
Oh, fair enough.
Very like controlled, but really interesting. And also, before the voter walks into the voting booth, they use this type of ink on their finger. They put the official puts ink on the, they mark the left hand index finger with purple ink.
Easy to rub off.
Non-permanent, like non-toxic.
Oh, right, yeah.
Purple ink.
That'd be very, very important. Imagine it's just toxic ink every single revolver.
They put this non-toxic ink on the index finger of the left hand to indicate the person has already voted and to prevent duplication. It is interesting, for they do have 969 million people voting, that they have to put ink on the finger of everyone their voters.
I would just like to say that I feel very, very sorry for the civil servant who's had to sort all that out. Can you imagine the logistical nightmare of setting up
it is crazy, but it will be something to keep an eye on for the next while, because it is going on till June 1st. So actually when the Indian election results come out, it will be time for the European elections,
and that's a big thing in its own as well.
That's gonna be exciting.
I'm
gonna annoy you all on Instagram.
Been talking about, yeah.
I'll have to block Caitlin for the whole of this.
Just constant updates, oh god.
That's really interesting. Who else had their elections this week? And I would recommend anyone having results look at the results is South Korea. And so did Croatia. Croatia voted in a conservative government, and the conservative government are relying on the right wing, so a hard right wing populist group, to secure their seats.
I was going to say, because they didn't get a majority.
They didn't.
Was that surprising? Did they call it?
Not really, no. But like at the same time, you know, having to rely on the right wing
it's
is just never
a bit difficult
the
now, isn't
difficult,
it? Yeah,
yeah.
It's not ideal.
No, but the South Korean, now I don't have much notes on it, but the many podcasts I listen to during the week have indicated how interesting it is.
Yeah, I think the opposition absolutely smashed them.
Yes,
I think it
absolutely
was.
Smashed the party, the presidential party, isn't it? It's the first time a president will be in power and it won't be their own party in with them.
Yeah, I'm reading it here. President Yoon Suk-yeol promises changes. Top aides quit after opposition parties sweep National Assembly elections.
Sorry, what was his name again?
His name is Yoon Suk-yeol.
Oh, very good.
I'm butchering the pronunciation, but you know.
Yeah.
99% of votes counted. The main opposition party, the Democratic Party, and its satellite party appear to have won a combined 175 seats in the 300-seat parliament. So, yeah, there you go.
The head of the party has stepped down of the presidential party, and one or two other major political heads. So it will be interesting to see how that one works too.
With a turnout of 67%, that's pretty...
I'd love to know the turnout of India, actually, at the end of all this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be really interesting to see.
Yeah. So to go from that, because I realise we are running out of time. So a really interesting thing that has happened in Europe this week is a new law passed by Georgia.
The country.
Not the state. EU warns Georgia, this is the headline of the RT, you guys, EU warns Georgia over impact of foreign agent law. This is a really interesting thing, especially in this day and age. So Georgia are wishing to pass a law called the Foreign Agent Law, which would concern if a media source or a non-commercial entity or body has more than 20% of their shares or funding coming from outside their country. So in Georgia, if let's say their news, if a newspaper, if 20% of the funding or their stakeholders are not from Georgia, then it is considered a foreign agent. They have, you have to declare you have foreign influence over 20%, which is really interesting. So like, okay, if you put that law in Ireland, let's say, I don't know, RTE, if 20% of their funding came from somewhere else, we would have to claim that RTE had, it was just had foreign influence. Which is supposed to make you wary. Yeah.
But like, sure, what's the difference?
In what way?
Like, I get it, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's the main problem is that it's resembling a Russian law.
Yes, so people are saying it's major Russian influence. It's practically a Russian law.
And it's massive in Georgia as well. I mean, there's been massive protests. There was a punch up yesterday. I don't know if you've seen that. Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've seen
the
video.
I've seen the protests.
The leading party member.
In the parliament?
Yes.
That was Georgia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You saw it, yeah.
I saw the video. I didn't think it was Georgia.
I think it was... opposition party member called, I think it was the PM or
it was one of the leading majority party members
was basically
speaking.
Saying, calling him a pro-Russia, came up to him, just swept him right in the face, and then the whole parliament got into
and there was massive like fight in the middle of parliament.
That. Yeah, and that's not the first time either. This happened like a year ago as well, so it's definitely feisty in there anyway.
It's not the most stable engagements. So yeah, Georgia, their parliament has voted yes in three readings. So they do three readings of this bill. And in the first reading, it was voted yes by a majority of 83 seats, which I know doesn't sound a lot, but the rest of them... 83 out of 150 deputies voted in favour of the bill, while MPs boycotted the vote. It has two more readings before it passes law. So it's a bit different to the Irish system, but it is interesting. As I said, the bill will require more... If you have more than 20% of your funding coming from abroad, you have to declare you have foreign influence. It is a widely... It's cracking down on, let's say, global, like, foreign influence on medias, which people are kind of wary at the moment. The EU have really said that this is not good, though. And people, why all there's the protests is because Georgia wishes to join the EU in the future.
Yeah.
Are they what part of the process are they in? I can't remember. They are in some of the ascension processes, though, at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think the... candidate
they're
countries
not.
Yet no but they've
shown
they're certainly in talks and they've certainly shown interest, but I think the worry could be now that it could turn into a sort of Turkey situation where they're in that kind of limbo, but they're kind of moving away more from the EU, and especially if this law does go through after the third reading then.
Yeah,
that's it's not going to bode well for their membership.
No. But all the mass protests are saying they want to join the EU, and that if you put this through, EU won't want us, which is true. This law goes against the ideas of freedom of speech, against there people are saying it's an atrocity to human rights.
It goes against nearly everything.
It goes against the values and norms of the EU majorly. It's being claimed as a Russian law, and it's very interesting because Georgia was in the bloc, wasn't it? It was in the bloc. So the fact that now in 2024 it's having major Russian influence is very interesting. People are saying if this law goes true, Georgia will now resemble Russia, Kazakhstan and Belarus in their laws and government proceedings, and it's trampling the human rights within the country.
And if it's a country that wants to join the EU, then they're not countries that you want to be associated or compared with, to be fair.
It's not great, and as in the EU itself, which people have known for ages, that it... Oh, actually, I just found it. The EU, Georgia candidate status in... It gave Georgia candidate status in December.
Oh, they are candidates.
Yes,
oh,
they are candidates.
I generally, for some reason, not did not long. Think that. Yeah, obviously very fresh then, yeah. But.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd recommend anyone having a look at that bill, and because the future of that bill will be really interesting.
Yeah.
See, will it pass, will it not, especially if the parliament's fighting. Like,
yeah,
fighting.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Even if your fans are like WWE or something.
That's
yeah.
a bit of a red flag, the parliament fighting.
Yeah. Well, imagine just having a scrap in the doll.
No, they fight with words.
No, like, imagine if like Rich Sunak and Keir Starmer went at it with each other, mate. Honestly, I'd be absolutely terrible.
I think someone would like pay good money to see that.
I would pay good money to see that. Yeah. No mind anyone, I would pay good money to see that.
Great segue, Ethan.
Oh, yeah.
So we were just on about this earlier, and we just thought it'd be a bit of an interesting thing to bring up, because there is so much media out the moment about this lady.
Yeah.
Liz Truss.
Good old Liz
Can
Truss.
If I'm going to recommend anything, there's a show called The Rest Is Money, sister show to The Rest Is Politics, one of my favourite podcasts. And they did a 3-part special on the downfall of Liz Truss. So it's really interesting to see the economics, because I don't know if people know about her mini budget, but that is the reason she no longer was PM.
Yeah.
So it's really good, really informative, and a really easy listen. So I'd recommend anyone have a
They are very good, though.
They are, yeah.
Is it the same horse, is it? Yeah?
No, these are two different people. But these people are... Steph McGovern is like the funniest lady ever.
I love Steph McGovern.
She hosts so it. Good. It's brilliant.
Oh, great.
And I can't remember the other person, but he's also gas, and he's on so many... UK media too. His name's really leaving my head.
Is it not Martin Lewis?
No.
It's not.
Is it? I'll find it. But anyways, with that, Ethan, what are you going to bring up today?
So basically, Liz Truss, who was in office for about 44 days, I think, 12 of them days being, you know, for the mourning of King Charles, where she, you know,
Queen
Elizabeth, sorry, with the incumbent King Charles coming in, who didn't really do a lot, so probably under 40 days. But she's released a book, her own book, 10 Years to Save the West, which I think is a very ironic title, but anyway. So the woman who got beaten by a lettuce quite famously has released this, and some quotes have already been found to be completely fabricated. So some sections of the book have already been recalled. She had an absolutely disastrous launch. I think it was on an American news network, where she held the book upside down and stumbled throughout her words.
Really?
Yes.
You're probably nervous.
So I've just got a few quotes here from good old Liz's new book. On her ministerial approach, she said, and I quote, "I took this on my usual style, full frontal," unquote. That's just classic Liz right there. Liz, on her school days, "I lived in fear of being beaten up in the lunch queue or stabbed with a pair of scissors in my media studies class." God knows what anyone was doing with scissors in the media studies class. Liz on the EU, the only thing they understand is pain. She sounds like The Rock on the, come back to WrestleMania of some sorts to do a really, really good soundbite for promo. On the so-called watermelons, said this watermelon tendency is green the outside, red the inside. And she called it a modern rebranding of socialism, which is interesting. It's the time conservatives fought back against the watermelons.
Yeah, and that's how she described environmentalists too.
Yeah, she's completely
she
launched.
Argued environmental debate is the single greatest example of conservatives over the last decade losing arguments to the left and claiming plenty of environmentalists as watermelons.
Yeah,
Does she have a problem with watermelons?
I thought lettuce beat her.
Yeah, so, I thought as well. I thought that would be more suited to it, but she may just genuinely just really not like watermelons. But what it's a very interesting thing to
hates environmentalists. It looks like this.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she really does. And do you know what the weird thing is? Her first stint as an when she was first became an MP, it was for a constituency in Norfolk. A farming heartland, heartland. It's absolutely incredible. But yeah, like if you want a good laugh, honestly, just read some of the quotes. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It is, yeah. She has other books too.
Does she?
Yeah, I think she was
Out of the Blue, The Inside Story of Liz Truss and Her Explosive
That's
Rise
the book
to Power.
That I'm reading right now. It's not is by it? Her, but oh. it's very good. It's a very, very good book, and it's kind of two journalists who've got kind of sources from other journalists, number 10 aides that were with her during her time in her various ministerial positions, different civil
and
servants.
What did they say about it?
There's different.
He's only on the fresh chapter, lads.
No. There's different recollections. I mean, you know, some people, you know, do praise her, but apparently she told an aide that she should have been shot at birth. So you know, they gives you a snapshot of you know what Liz Truss could have been like. But
it's probably day two in the office.
Yeah, honestly.
He has another book.
Yeah,
why I was right about everything.
Oh yeah. So she apparently said that her mini budget that she's so famously known for and that led to her downfall was a great decision. The fact that she's still backing it is absolutely insane, considering she then after that sacked her best mate Kwasi Kwarteng, who in the book all the quotes from him is just stellar about Liz Truss and how close they were. So the fact that it was that bad and led to it. You know, it's not even me giving my own opinion on that, but that she was forced to sack the Chancellor, who was, you know, one of her closest mates for years, by the way, absolute years. And he's still backing it is incredibly interesting. Yeah. But now there's calls for her to possibly come back in the wake of Labour winning if the Tories were to move more to the right. I think she probably fancies herself, but, you know...
People have been referring to her, especially with how she's been promoting her new book, 10 Years to Save the West.
Yeah.
Or comparing her to that big American politician. Oh, her name is leaving my head. But it's the same fuss. It's the same media grabbing attention.
Not Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yes. Go again. Oh. What's her name?
Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yeah, she's...
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Marjorie, yes.
So yeah, Liz Truss has been...
We'll forgive you.
Highly... Yeah, compared to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a conservative in the US. So it is interesting to see how, especially, like, I do love following British politics, and especially with the upcoming election. So I'd recommend anyone keep an eye on it, especially if Liz Truss is said to potentially come back. So we're out of time, guys. This is the quickest hour I've ever done the radio. I'm not going to lie. I'm sorry for all the chaos at the start, especially on such an important topic. We were having some major tech issues. So yeah, I'd like to thank my guests so much. So we've had Kira and Ethan. Do you have any parting words, guys?
Goodbye.
Tune in to Chitter Chatter at 4 o'clock today, please.
Yes, please tune in to Chitter Chatter at 4, guys.
And his Instagram.
Yeah, he streams on Instagram too.
Yeah, if you want to get involved with the show, it's at Chitter Chatter 1 on Instagram. So if you want to get involved
and
with the
stream. And
for
song requests as well.
Yeah, request songs and everything. Yeah, make sure you tune in.
We have to.
Thanks, Caitlin, for having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming. So, yep, guys, that is it. We have a few more weeks left. I know it's starting into exam season, but I will still be with ye every Friday because thankfully none of my exams are on a Friday. So, so you're not losing me. So we'll finish up on the 10th. So we have 3 more shows left, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, this semester is just absolutely flown. Yeah, absolutely flown.
Yep, so that's it, guys. I'll see you next week. Check out the Spotify if you missed the show today. And thanks so much. So this has been IDK Politics, and I'm putting on King by Florence and the Machine. Bye, guys.
Adios.
Bye.